to see y'all today. Good to see you. If I went home right now, man, I'd be full. Amen. I feel like I'm full. Full. Turn your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. Sometimes I feel like I'm about to blow up. I want to talk to you this morning from a text found in Luke chapter number 18. The text verse will be verse number 37. It's called Brother Joe, for the title is Jesus of Nazareth Passeth By. Jesus of Nazareth Passeth By. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 35. I'll read down to the end of the chapter, and it says, "It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant." Now this is the blind man. He asked what it meant. "They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do, that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." So we want to talk to you this morning about Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. You pray with me and for me, please. Father, we come to thy throne of grace, God in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, so kind, so merciful, and so long-suffering. Day in and day out, God, you are faithful when we are not. You are holy when we are unholy. But thank you, God, for watching over us for another week. Thank you, God, for the privilege to be here today. Thank you, God, for the privilege to stand here and say something to your people, God. I pray the Spirit of God would help us now, enlighten us, and apply these things to the hearts of every person. Dear God, help me, Spirit of God, to bring out what needs to be said and keep quiet about what doesn't need to be said. Please help us now. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. I've been preaching from 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and I'm not finished over there. But I looked and I studied in 1 and 2 Peter, and I was not satisfied. There was nothing that stirred my heart. And so I picked something else. There's a text over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 that we'll take one of these days. It says that casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I like that verse, but I didn't get anything from it, so I wasn't satisfied. It just didn't stir me up, so I thought I would go over here and preach this for you. And I keep thinking about people having an encounter with God. I keep thinking about that over and over, day after day, thinking about people having an encounter with God like we've talked about. Like Moses had an encounter with God, a meeting with God. He was changed. He's never the same. And Jacob, we talked about Jacob Wednesday night. Jacob had an encounter with God. He wasn't changed much at that time, but he's going to meet God again. We're talking about in the book of Genesis, what we're studying on Wednesday night. And Jacob will meet with God again in chapter 32. But I keep thinking about this thing of people having an encounter with God, like Moses and Jacob and Abraham and Paul and others. And here's a fellow right here. Here's a man right here that had an encounter with God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as Jesus was traveling. And everybody who actually meets Jesus Christ has an encounter with God. Because God Almighty became flesh. He became a man, and that's who Jesus is. I never get over the fact that God became a man, that God became flesh and came down and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I just can't get over it, you see. And everybody who actually meets Jesus has an encounter with God. It's too bad. Some people, they never get up close to Jesus. They sort of sit back and they just watch from a distance. Like at the cross, when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, there were people watching. They're just sitting down watching, and it didn't move them. You see, is there things that you read about and you hear about God? They ought to move us. They ought to move us. They ought to stir our hearts. I want to be stirred. I want to get up close. I don't want to stand back and just watch from a distance. I want to get up close to the cross. And I want to look at Jesus as in my mind's eye. I want to see that. I want to see the blood. I want to see the crown of thorns that He wore. I want to see Him suffering. He's my substitute. He suffered in my place. And I want to get up close. I want to see the nails in His hands. I want to see the nails in His feet. I want to see the lashes on His back. I want to see those things because I want to know Him, see. I want to know Him. I want to see Him in His glorified body, you see, after He comes out of the grave. And I want to picture in my mind's eye Jesus Christ coming back, riding on a white horse, coming down through the heavens and coming back for the battle of Armageddon. I want to see those things. I can't see them literally, but I can see them by faith in my mind's eye. So see, don't stand back. Get up close. Get up close to Jesus. Come and know Him better. And read about Him on the pages of the Bible. And see Him by faith and get to know Him better. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and I believe it's verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. See, he wanted to know Jesus, and that's what we should want to know. Don't look from a distance. Don't look from a distance. By faith in your mind's eye, see Jesus Christ. This is the story about an event that happened as Jesus passed through a small town called Jericho while He was here. And Jesus' ministry lasted about 3.5 years. It was mostly outside. Jesus preached on dirt roads, and He preached on hillsides, and He preached on mountainsides. He preached on the sea. He preached from a ship. They pushed it back in the sea there, and He preached from it, from a boat. And many times, sometimes He preached from a house. Sometimes He preached in the temple of God there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in Mark chapter number 2, where Jesus, I forget now, seemed like it was in a place called Capernaum, but He preached there, and He was in a house. He came to a house, and the Bible says it in verse Mark 2, 1, it says it was noise that He was in the house. People made a bunch of noise. Man, Jesus Christ's in the house. He's been preaching all around the land, and now he's in this house, somebody's house. And the house got full of people looking in the windows, in the doors. And I love it when it says in verse number 2 that Jesus preached the word unto them. I mean, He's a preacher, and He preached the word unto those people. And so, see, that's how his ministry was. It's nice for us to have a building, but we need to get outside of the building. Don't just keep your Christianity inside of a building. See, it's easy to be a Christian in the house. It's easy to be a Christian in here among everybody else. But we need to be Christians out there too. We need to talk out there too. See, we need to spread the gospel out there everywhere. So don't just be a Christian when you come on Sunday morning. I know you don't, but be one out there too. See, out in the highways and the hedges and the jails and in the houses. Everywhere that you go, we're not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Jericho is the place where two spies went. Jericho, that's this little town that Jesus went through there, and where this happened. But I'm taking you back just a little bit to the nation of Israel. When they came across the Jordan River, the nation of Israel, they're going into the promised land. The first city that they came to was Jericho. Before that, Moses had sent out two spies, and they went to Jericho, and there they met this woman. She's called an harlot. Her name was Rahab the harlot. And that's where this happened. Had walls all around. It's a small city, and they had a little king there, you see. And they marched around that city, and that's the first city. Y'all know isn't there a song? We have a song that we've sang quite a bit about the walls of Jericho. the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down and all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, that's that city. That's that city, Jericho. And so that's where they're at, where those two spies went, and they met up with this woman, Rahab. And then it's also the city, if you were to read chapter number 10 of the book of Luke, you'd read about the Good Samaritan. You know, you heard about the Good Samaritan. That happened on the Jericho Road. There's a song. We don't sing it, but it's a song for quartets and things like called On the Jericho Road. Anybody ever heard that? On the Jericho Road? No? Mother, you heard it. Okay, thank you. There's one person listening. Amen. And then, thank you, John. Thank you, Brother John. See. And then in chapter number 19, the next chapter about little Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short guy. And when Jesus came through the town of Jericho, Zacchaeus got up in a tree so he could see him. And Jesus went to his house. He had an encounter with God. Amen. He met Jesus Christ. I pray that you've had an encounter with God. I think you have. If you're saved this morning, you've had an encounter with God. But it just doesn't have to be just when you get saved. You can have an encounter with God later on, where God meets with you. He reveals His will to you. He changes your life. And you're never the same. Amen. You're never the same. Only God can do that. I can't do it. I wish I could. I preached for years and years and years, especially many years ago when I was young. I was crazy when I preached. I'm not very crazy now, but I used to run all over the building. My voice is not very loud now, but it used to be. My voice, you could hear me a half a mile away, and I used to get loud. But I would try to change people myself, but I can't. I can't do it. People's lives have to be changed from the inside. God has to do it, and it works its way out. And if you haven't had something done in your heart, then you're not saved. It's got to be done in your heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made." God is interested in your heart. What kind of shape is your heart in? What kind of condition? Is it a heart that's seeking after God, you see? That's what God's looking for. He's looking into people's heart, you see. Amen. I've been listening to this song this week. What's the name of it? I guess I'll think of it after a while, name of the song. "He washed my eyes with tears. He washed my eyes with tears." Why? "So that I might see. He opened my heart up. He tore it all apart and He looked inside of my heart." That's what God's interested in. He's interested in your heart. What kind of heart shape, condition is our heart in, you see? And it'll work its way out. You get the inside fixed up, and the outside, it'll get fixed up later on, see? See, I used to try to do that. See, I'm gonna preach, and I'm gonna preach so loud, and I'm gonna preach so hard that you're gonna have to straighten up. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. It has to be God. If God doesn't do certain things, they're not going to get done. I do what I can do. But see, I have to trust that the Word of God is going to do what only the Word of God can do. And God's going to take the Spirit of God is going to take the Word of God, and He's going to do some work in people's hearts. That's the only way that anything is going to get done of any eternal value, you see. People's hearts. So here's Jesus. Him and whoever's with Him, His disciples, they're coming into the little town of Jericho. They're probably walking. There's a little crowd of them walking. And they're walking into Jericho. And, you know, I can tell you my picture of Jesus, my image, my view of Jesus Christ. I can talk to you about that. I believe He was a tall man, a tall fellow, and took long steps, and I can just see all this. He's walking into Jerusalem. He's leading the pack there. And as He comes into the city of Jerusalem, there's somebody sitting on the side of the road. He's a blind man. His name is Blind Bartimaeus. That's what they call him. Every day, somebody will have to lead Bartimaeus out to the side of the road, and they'll sit him down. I don't know if he maybe had a tin can or maybe had a basket or something like that. He'd hold it up. He's a beggar. He begs every day. See, Jesus comes in, and blind Bartimaeus is sitting there on the side of the road. And a lot of people gather around Jesus because they've heard that this prophet in the land of Israel, he's been preaching all around the land of Israel. And by the way, Jesus never got out of the land of Israel. He never got probably 100 or so miles away from Jerusalem in any direction. He never went outside the land. But they hear, and a lot of people gather around Jesus, and there's a big crowd coming in to Jericho. They're following Jesus. They're walking along. They're stirring up dust as they walk, and Jesus coming along. And blind Bartimaeus is sitting there. He can't see, but he can hear. And so when he hears all this commotion going on, he begins to cry out. He said, What is that? What's going on? What's going on there? See? And they try to keep him quiet. The disciples, they go over and say, try to keep him quiet. Keep quiet. Don't make so much noise. It's okay to make noise about Jesus. Do you know it? Amen. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to make a little bit of noise. It's okay to shout every once in a while. There's things worth shouting about. Amen. Amen. There's things worth saying amen about. There's things worth getting loud about, you see. There's things worth getting stirred up, see. I can't stand this Christianity that's dry and dead and dull and boring. I don't like that kind of stuff. I like to get stirred up every once in a while. Amen. And blind Bartimaeus, he begins to cry out. What's going on? What's going on? And they try to keep him quiet. They go over, the disciples, his own disciples go over and try to keep him quiet. And somebody said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I'm telling you the story without reading it. Let me read you a couple of verses about what I'm saying there. Verse number 35, it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. Certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. See, he's a beggar. He has no income other than just whatever people give him. They bring him out every day and they sit him beside the road. Verses 36, hearing the multitude pass by. See, a lot of people passing by. He smells dust in the air. He's passing by. They're passing by and he smells the dust. Hears all the sounds, the commotion. And he says in verse number 36, he asked what it meant. What's going on? And somebody said, shouted out to him, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by. I love that song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Lord Jesus, don't pass us by. Lord Jesus, please come and help us today. Don't pass us by, Lord. We need your help. They don't need me, Lord. They need you. So Jesus, please come and help us. Don't pass us by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. They said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he's heard about this Jesus. He's heard some things. He's a Jew. I think he's a Jew. Because he's heard some. He's heard about this prophet, this mighty preacher. And by the way, Jesus was a mighty preacher. He was the boldest man who ever lived on the earth. The boldest and mightiest man who ever walked on the earth. He wasn't afraid of anything. They tried to catch him in his words, but they couldn't do it because he is the Word of God. Amen. They said, Jesus of Nazareth, he's heard about, I've heard that, I've heard about that, he can't see. But I've heard about that, and he begins to cry out. And he said, Jesus, no, he doesn't say, he said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. You know how he knew that, Son of David? That's a title. That's a title that Jesus Christ had as the King of Israel. So he knew this. He knew. that this, who this Jesus was. He's heard about him. And I'm sure that he had thought many times before, oh, I wish that Jesus of Nazareth. I wish that son of David. I wish he'd passed through here. And sure enough, God made it possible for him to be sitting on the wayside, on the roadside there, when Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Amen. Brother, when Jesus of Nazareth passes by you, don't let him go. Don't let him go. Stick your hand out. Catch on to him. Amen. God makes it possible for you to have an encounter with God. Then you do it. He says, verse number 37, Jesus of Nazareth passed by. In verse 38, he cried, saying, Lord, saying, Jesus, Jesus. You know what the word Jesus means? The word Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jesus Christ is the Jehovah of the Old Testament who came to be our Savior. Amen. Jehovah saves. Amen. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus hears it. There's a lot of people around. Jesus hears it. Verse number 39, and they which went before rebuked him. They tried to keep him quiet, that he should hold his peace. Oh, come on, be quiet. Don't make so much noise. Don't make so much noise. It's okay. Make some noise. It's all right. Make some noise. Verse 39, they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, and I like verse number 40. Jesus, when he heard that, the Bible says he stood. He stopped. He commanded. Jesus Christ is a king. He commanded. He said, bring him forth to me. Bring him here. He brought him forth. They go get Bartimaeus. They bring him to Jesus. Jesus speaks to him. Can you imagine? Oh, such a mighty man. Such a mighty man humbling himself. Coming down and walking on the dirt roads of the land of Israel. He stopped when somebody cried out to him, have mercy upon me. He commanded, said, bring him here. Bring him here. He has a commanding presence. When he's around, brother, he's the center of attention. He said, verse 40, Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he came over to where Jesus was. Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? What do you want? What do you want? Verse number 41, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What do you think he said? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, I want to see. Now, I'm going to make an application here. That's physical healing. We'll make some applications to spiritual salvation. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Verse number 42. Jesus didn't do, you know what Jesus had to do? He didn't have to have a healing line. He didn't have to knock him down in the head. He didn't have to whap him over the head. He didn't have to do anything. You know what he did? He just spoke. He said, Jesus spoke. Thy faith hath saved thee, he said. Faith will get it. Faith will get it for you. Lord, that I may receive my sight, verse 41. Verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. That's all he had to say. Thy faith hath saved thee. Faith. You know how he showed his faith? He showed his faith. He's out there. And he begins to cry out to Jesus. See, that's showing his faith. That's his faith. Amen. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Verse number 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him and glorifying God. Folks, let me tell you something. When you get a prayer answered, it's time to glorify God. Amen. When you get a prayer answered, boy, it's time to shout. It's time to shout. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God, That's what he deserves, praise unto God. You see, let me just give you a few simple observations from this story. Number one, I'm going to give you five of them. I'll have to hurry. Number one, Jesus Christ is interested in those that most people would pass by. Amen. Jesus is interested in those that most people would pass by. Look here. The guy is blind. He has no money, probably. What good is he going to do anybody? See, that's how we, most people, would look at it. But Jesus was interested. He stopped, said, bring him to me. You know what? Jesus died for that man. Amen. Jesus died for that man. Jesus Christ bore in his own body the sins of that man. People out here that people think that they could never be saved or whatever, Jesus died for those people. I'm talking about people in the jail. I'm talking about poor people. I'm talking about rich people. I'm talking about kids. I'm talking about all of these kinds of people. See, Jesus bore their sins in his own body on the tree. He requires that we get down humble and we acknowledge that, look, I'm a sinner. Had a fellow that I thought was going to come today. Me and Brother John and Samuel here knocking doors Tuesday night. We talked to this folks that were sitting out on the porch, and I better not say much about it because he might come later. But we talked to them, and they were nice and all this kind of stuff, and doing some stuff there that makes you sort of tipsy, if you understand what I mean there. And we went on down the street and knocked on a couple more doors, and this guy came out, and he waved us over there. He waved us over, and we went over to talk to him, and he said, I thought he was going to start crying, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he said, man, I'm a sinner, and we're going to come to church. I said, well, great. We sure want you to. I hope you do. Well, he didn't make it this morning, but you know what? When you get in that shape, you're in the right shape for God to help you. Amen. You see, amen. Jesus is interested in everybody hearing about his son. He's interested in that. He blesses us when we go out, and no matter if somebody gets saved or not, when we present the gospel to people, God blesses us. He always blesses. Let's go on. Number two, Jesus Christ will not turn away anyone who comes to him. Amen. If anyone comes to him in faith, he will not turn them away. The Bible says in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Blind man here in verse 38, he cried out, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus did not turn him away. See, he will accept those who will come to him. The Bible says we are to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Bartimaeus was not going to let him pass by. He wasn't going to let him pass by. Jesus is coming by. He said, man, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get his attention. And he did when he called out to him. Fanny J. Crosby. Oh, that's already told you about that. Fanny J. Crosby is the author of that song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I already mentioned that, you see. Now, I'm going to tell you a third thing, and please listen. This is very important. It's simple. But here's the thing. As far as I know, Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. One time. Folks, God made it possible for that man to be out there because he knew the condition of his heart. Here's what I'm saying. Most people only have a few opportunities to be saved in their whole life. In their whole life, unless they happen to be raised in a Christian home. But what if you're not raised in a Christian home? Did you know, as far as I can remember, nobody ever handed me a tract until I was 24 years old, till I got saved. I don't recall anybody handed me a tract. They might have, and I just don't remember. As far as I know, nobody ever witnessed to me until I was 24 years old. And then finally, some old man came by my house that had enough guts and enough courage to talk to me and tell me about Jesus. But see, if somebody's not raised in a Christian home, Brother Diaz and myself, we talked to two men at the jail last night from 6 to 7. I would imagine, Brother Diaz, don't you think I'm right? They had probably never in their whole life, one of them was probably in his 30s, one of them in his 20s, probably had never in their life before had anyone sit down and talk to them and give them a clear, plain presentation of the gospel. Because we know that because of what they said. How that Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross. That he was buried and raised from the dead. And you can be saved if you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can have eternal life right now, today, this moment, if you'll believe on Jesus Christ. You can have it abiding in your body because you have to have it now. If you wait until you die, you can't make any more decisions. It's too late when you die. Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. Folks, listen carefully. You only have one life to live. When this life is over, we don't get another chance. Make your life count for God. You can mess up your life or you can do something else with it. God's not going to force anybody to do it. You can take your life and do anything you want to with it. But you can only do it one time. We can only do it one time. See, make it count. Make it count. The years, the days, the minutes, oh, they pass so fast. One day you're going to wake up and if Jesus doesn't come, you're going to be like me if you get to live to be 72 years old. See, if God lets you live that long, see, we only get one chance. Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. One time. Only, the song says, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's it. That's it, you see. Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. Number four, the fourth thing I want to tell you is this. There are some people who really want to be saved. There's some people who really want to be saved. Here's a guy right here, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to cry out, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He wanted something, you see. You want to get saved? If you're not saved, you want to get saved, you can get saved, you see. There are some people that we meet who really do want to. A lot of times we meet people, and they just really don't, you know, they don't care because they think they're going to live forever. But there are a few people. I mean, I could give you illustration after illustration, like the thief on the cross. After he got put on the cross, he wanted to be saved. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The last thing I want to tell you is this. Most people need someone to guide them. Most people, they need someone to help them to be saved, to guide them, you see. Say, this is how you trust Jesus Christ. I needed somebody to help me. An old man came by my house. Would you accept Jesus as your Savior? Yes, I will. And I met God. I met Jesus, you see. Most people, they need a little bit of help. Not everybody, but most people. Here's a fellow right here. He's blind. They have to have somebody to help him get up and come over here and stand in front of you. See, they've got to get him up and go over there. What do you want? I want to receive my sight. Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Faith. Faith will get it for you. Faith will get you salvation. Faith in a person. See, a lot of people think that you can be saved by some church. They think you can be saved by getting in the baptistry, getting water. It's tap water, folks. It ain't going to help you. They think that sacraments, or they think of being religious, rituals and all. Forget all that stuff. Salvation is in a person, and that person is Jesus. And if you'll accept Him, trust Him as your Savior, faith. The Bible says, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord. You're justified by faith only. Faith alone, not by your works. Now your faith will produce some works later on, you see. Amen. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Maybe He's passing by you today. Does He want you to do something? Don't let Him go by. Don't let Him go by without doing what you're supposed to do. Do today what you will be glad tomorrow. You'll be glad for all eternity. Amen. If you're not saved today, come on. Jesus wants you to be saved. He died for you on the cross. He paid for every sin that you have ever committed or will ever commit. He paid for it all already. Your part is just to accept what He's done for you, to believe on Him, to trust Him as your Savior. Amen.